two voices now on what may suddenly be on hold between now and 2016 and what may actually get accomplished with this shakeup of the political power relationships in the Congress and the White House. On the domestic side, joining us is Theda Scotchpole, who is professor of government and sociology at Harvard University, director of the Scholars Strategy Network. Theda, what do you think is likely to get accomplished over the next 2 years? Mitch McConnell certainly talked about, we're going to have compromise. There's a meeting on Friday at the White House. What do you think?
Oh, I don't think a great deal will be accomplished over the next 2 years. There will be some areas of policy where the president and the Republican Congress can come to some kind of understanding. I expect there will be budget negotiations rather than a shutdown of the government. There'll probably be some adjustments in the Affordable Care Act after the Republicans hold their flashy repeal votes and those go nowhere. On the other hand, you know, President Obama can still move forward, just as he has been really for the last 2 years, through administrative action on some of the pressing problems facing the country, such as how to handle law-abiding, undocumented immigrants. He's likely to act on that front without Congress, and that really isn't a change from before November 4th.
So you'll see trends continuing on immigration. You'll see the Affordable Care Act sort of a show business, no real effect there. What about the theme of the 60-vote rule, which was such a big, huge issue in the first 2 years of the Obama term? Suddenly that's turned now to the Republicans, because if the president uses his veto a lot, then suddenly the Republicans have their own 60-vote problem.
Well, and they will. And our focus in this election has been on the Senate, but the issue really remains extremists in the House of Representatives. And now there are a set of fairly extreme new senators to join Ted Cruz in the Senate of the United States. So a lot of the drama is actually going to be inside the Republican Party, particularly as jockeying for the nomination for president in the GOP in 2015 and 2016 takes center stage, which it will by the middle of 2015.
So you're going to see a Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, not that Scott Walker's in the Senate or anything, but you're going to see those voices try to battle it out for who's a possible front runner in 2016 for the GOP.
Well, you're gonna see competition to see who can be the most extreme in terms of catering to the right wing of the Republican Party, which is the good citizens who turn out. You're right to point to Scott Walker, because in some ways the most important and surprising outcome of the election here was the set of victories for Republican governors. Scott Walker's reelection in Wisconsin was a big deal because he's followed some of the most extreme policies. Also, Tom Tillis, who eked out a victory in North Carolina
right.
Over Kay Hagan. One is a governor and the other a senator race that really signal where the Republican Party has moved.
And Walker has completely overshadowed Paul Ryan, it seems like, in the House in terms of having a sort of national status. What do you think of Rand Paul? What do you think of Marco Rubio? Those names that we certainly heard a lot about over the last 2 years.
Well, you know, I actually don't think Marco Rubio's going anywhere. Remember, he's the author of the compromise immigration reform bill, and I don't think conservative activists in the Republican Party will forgive that. Rand Paul has a following, but he's going to have plenty of competition from these tough guy governors and from Senator Ted Cruz, who is likely to be the standard bearer for all-out right-wingism in the coming year and a half.
Theda Scotchpole is a professor of government and sociology at Harvard University, director of the Scholars Strategy Network. And with a look at the international situation post-election now, Financial Times columnist Edward Luce joins us. Ed, welcome.
Thanks for having me, John.
So with everything going on, I mean, you've got a new Cold War. You've got ISIS in the Middle East. You've got, any number of problems, Hong Kong protesting in China. Does this divided government in Washington help, hurt, assist in the U.S. Involvement in any of these crises, or do we go into a holding pattern?
I think more the latter. Look, the world as a whole, whether you're talking about America's allies in Europe or its opponents in places like Moscow and Beijing, Venezuela, etc., has seen a sort of sense of strategic drift in the last few years under President Obama. I think those who are paying attention know that gridlock, at least, stems equally from both parties, if not more from the Republicans. But in terms of President Obama's foreign scope to pursue an active and effective foreign policy and his willingness to do so, there's already deep skepticism about that around the world. And I think Tuesday night's results in the midterm elections will only reinforce it. It'll be seen as more of the same, but a little bit worse.
So even if the president wants to get more involved, he'll be perceived as even more of a lame duck president with much less power and certainly less of a mandate from the legislature in the United States.
That's certainly true. I think, you know, from the perspective of my part of the world, Europe, that there will be some hope that a Republican-controlled Congress would give Obama fast-track negotiating authority to negotiate a big transatlantic trade deal. However, I'm based in Washington, D.C., and I find that pretty unlikely as a prospect. I think the Republicans would be loath to give Mr. Obama such scope to negotiate a deal without their input, having, you know, just won what they see as a wave election and an election that they see as a mandate to repudiate President Obama's agenda. So, there will be nuances depending on which parts of the world are looking at this. But I think overall it'll be seen as a sort of for whom the bell tolls moment for President Obama 2 years before his presidency officially comes to an end.
What about the talk that John Kerry, Secretary of State, was pushing forward just a few months ago about going around the treaty process to get some important international agreements if not ratified, moving forward so that some cooperation could take place? Climate change was one of the discussions, and there were certainly some others.
There were some others. I mean, of course, the most important thing on John Kerry's plate is the nuclear talks with Iran. And there's a deadline for those talks to reach agreement later this month. I don't think huge amounts of progress has been made, but Congress, of course, would be involved with that too. And for any deal to go ahead, President Obama would need to ask Congress to start reducing sanctions on Iran in exchange for Iran dismantling part of its nuclear enrichment process. Will this new Congress be more likely to cooperate with that than less? I would have thought probably less likely to cooperate.
Ed Luce, columnist for the Financial Times, thanks so much for being a part of our election coverage, Ed.
Thank you for having me, John.
Before we end this hour, where do we go from here, folks?
My name is Laura. I'm calling from Lafayette, California. My fondest vision for our political future is that the populace, all of us, wake up, start paying attention, inform ourselves on the issues and on which candidates are most likely to work for us and aren't bent on obstructionist policies and just ensuring their own reelection and their party supremacy. It's up to us, everybody. Let's go.
Catch up on any of the conversations or listen back to anything on the program. Check us out at thetakeaway.org. And thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry in a free democratic America. And this is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.